Okay, and amazingly enough, we're in for our third Pure Decking show, and I still can't believe Analog called me up right as we're trying to start to do a tech support question, but, whatever. Anyways, tonight we have with us Suave, Nox, and Heavy. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. So, what are we going to do today? You wanted to talk about your setup?
Yeah, I thought we'd actually talk about what I've done, at least so far, with setting up the radio station, because I feel it's, the setup itself is actually pretty cool, and the only reason we're not going 24/7 is because I just had a hell of a busy week last week and haven't had a good opportunity to sit down and build a schedule. So it's actually nothing technical at this point holding us back. It is purely the schedule.
Awesome.
So, pretty much, though, just to give a quick overview, there's the component that we use, or I use, I should say, when we're running the show, the scheduled stream. And then there's the component I use when I'm doing the live show. And I have a computer, it's actually one of my desktop computers, that is running a virtual sound card. And that's what I'm using as the mixer so that the stream doesn't break and kick everybody off when we switch from scheduled to live. So, and I've got this crazy mixer rig over here to make this all work. But the scheduler is actually much cooler than the mixer rig. The mixer rig is two mixers, a shit ton of crappy wire, a splitter. okay. For doing
hey,
this,
Kristen.
Well, okay. What I've got, I'm trying to figure out the best way to describe this setup so that if somebody wanted to actually try and recreate it, they'd at least have a shot. I don't know if I should actually worry about that too much or not.
Yeah, I'd like to hear how it's all put together.
All right. Well, I've got a small six-channel mixer. It's a Behringer, I think. Let me look. No, it's a Eurorack. Anyways, I got it secondhand. I'm not terribly far from Nashville, about an hour or so. There's plenty of pawn shops full of audio equipment where you had people who thought they were going to be famous who bought the expensive stuff and then had to pay the bills. So, you know, getting audio equipment's actually not that hard for me, you know, if you know where to look. So I've got a little four-channel mixer, and that's got a preamp in it, and that's what my mic is on, and I've got a stage mic. And I have, that is tied into my laptop, and it's tied in a couple of ways. I've actually got two sound cards on this laptop. One's a little USB sound card, and that's actually where the music comes from. So, like, when I'm playing something like,
oh, fuck,
or that's actually coming from the second sound card on the same laptop that I'm using for Skype. Now, that just runs straight into the mixer through a little, I turned out not to need a ground loop isolator on the second sound card on this laptop. Now, for going to the other computer, I did. But, so the mic and the output from this laptop, the second sound card, go into the mixer straight up. The output from that mixer is split. It's got, well, it's actually got multiple outs, which is how I'm doing it, but electrically they're all wired together, so it's like a splitter. One side of the split is going to the second mixer. The other side of the split is going to the microphone in on the sound card that's currently being used for Skype. That way, everybody else on the call can hear me. They can hear it when I'm playing noise, so they know when I'm playing noise or music, or if I'm going to play, like, you know, you know, they know that I've just played that sound effect, and I don't have to type into the chat so that they can respond appropriately. So, especially if I play something like this.
Winning.
Because that always seems to piss people off for some reason. So, but, now, this is where things start to get a little hokey. And it's set up this way purely so that you all don't hear yourselves coming back through the Skype. Because what I could do is I could feed everything into the mixer, then run the mixer out through Skype and through the other machine, and it would be a lot easier to wire. But then you all would hear yourselves. Now, if Skype was perfect and had no lag, that'd be fine. You all would just get an extra monitor back. But unfortunately, the internet doesn't work that way. So, the output that goes from the mixer to the second mixer is then, that's got a ground loop isolator on it. And it's the only way I was able to get all these computers tied together. I tried so many solutions to avoid ground loops, and all I could do was go get the little two transformer filter thingies. You know, they get them for a car audio mostly. And on the second mixer, the other side of that mixer, which is it's a cheapy Radio Shack 2-channel mixer. So I've probably got less than $200 in this whole rig if you don't count the computers, just in external equipment. The output from the Skype sound card, so in other words, what all these yahoos on the call are saying, that is the second channel of the second mixer. The output from that mixer is then split again. One side of that split goes to my monitors, goes to my headphones. That way I can hear myself, and I can hear everybody else on the call, no problems, no questions asked, and it also makes sure that I can hear the sound effects as well, so I know they're working. That way if they're too loud, I know that, or too quiet, I can actually adjust the levels on the fly. I'm not very good at it, but I've got the option, so I can learn, right? Now, the second side of the split off the second mixer then goes to the line in on the broadcast box. And that's actually a Hackintosh. It's a custom-built PC running OS X. And the virtual sound card I'm using is called Soundflower. It's a little freebie. And I'm using another little freebie application called Line In to pass the microphone input into the virtual sound card. All it does is echo the line in into the virtual sound card, so that it's just echoing everything out that we say right into the broadcasting software. The broadcasting software I'm using is Butt Broadcast using this tool. It's nice. It's handy. It can record. It broadcasts pretty well. The only thing you don't get doing this setup is no metadata, like off the scheduler. I might be able to... I was looking at that to see if there's some way I could pipe the metadata from the scheduler to the website, but so far, haven't figured that out. So, that's the live side of things. You all have any questions on that?
Okay.
Not from it, and pretty good.
All I gotta say is, wow, I never realized how incredibly complicated that is.
Well, that would be my life. I never realized how incredibly complicated it was.
And what do you use as your DJ software?
I'm using Traktor. I wanted to use Mix because it's open source and that fits the philosophy of the station a little bit better. But I found a copy of Traktor, and right now that's working better for me. I've actually got a little Hercules DJ Control MP3 E2, which any stage DJ will tell you is a toy. It is a toy controller, practically. But it gets the job done. It's handy. And it's better than trying to work any DJ software with a mouse. My God. Trying to do it with keyboard and mouse is... It just doesn't work. You know what I mean? Because the mouse, you can only interact with one thing at a time. And a keyboard, of course, you get multiple things, but... Having a controller that's actually meant for what you're doing just makes life so much easier. I've actually got another custom controller I've been working on over here, which is a clone of a MIDI fighter, which you can just Google that. It's a 4x4 grid of arcade buttons, and I built mine with an Arduino. So, now the scheduled side of things. This is a little bit more on the network side than the audio side, but... I've got another computer. It's running Ubuntu Linux, running some software called Airtime. It used to be called Campcaster, but they renamed it recently. Now, this thing is cool. It gives you a web interface to a playlist builder and scheduler, basically. The scheduler actually looks like a freaking calendar. It looks like Google Calendar. And I know I've given Suave access to it. I'm pretty sure I haven't given Knox access to it. Heavy, did you get a chance to look at the scheduler?
No.
Okay. Might let you look at that later.
Yeah, but I got to say, I really like that scheduler. It's just extremely intuitive and easy to use. It's really just a matter of giving somebody a username and password, letting them log in, upload shows, and then just start scheduling stuff.
Yeah, now I did some hokey stuff to make the login for you guys possible because I'm actually running that at my house. So wow. I set up a Dyn DNS on my router, and we forwarded what would be a very comical port. And I tried to initially just change the web server to running on the different port. And Airtime does not like being moved. It does not like having its port moved. It really wants to live on port 80. But you can dual home it. If you set it on both 80 and your secondary port, I then only forward the secondary port through the router, and it works fine.
Okay.
Now, what Airtime actually does, though, is it runs a local Icecast server. So it's got its own Icecast server running on the same box, right? And that's not making it out of my network. That's not forwarding out of the router or anything like that. I'm not using a relay or anything. Instead, what I do is, back over here on the Hackintosh, I run, it's called COG, but it's just any media player will do this. I just pick up the Shoutcast stream internally and then pipe that into the virtual sound card. So I'm using the virtual sound card sort of like a third mixer. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yeah. So that's it. There's one very important thing I left out. The Skype account. I'm not using this because I didn't think of it when I built my insane setup, and I'm not about to tear it down. But instead of doing the multiple mixer setup, I could actually simplify things if I was willing to not be able to hear my own sound effects, basically. Or maybe do something different with the setup for my monitor. But I have actually set up a second Skype account for the station that if you're on its contact list, you can actually configure the Skype client to automatically answer calls. So, obviously, I set it up to only accept calls from its contacts list, automatically answer them, and where does it pipe its sound? Right into the virtual sound card. So, we can set up other live DJs, and instead of having to mess around with, you know, kicking off the scheduler and then logging in themselves and kicking everyone off the stream, they just call over Skype the appropriate Skype account, and boom, they're live on the air. Now, there is a problem. There is a conflict that if somebody tries to talk over the scheduler, you'll get a mix of the two. And I haven't quite figured out a good way around that yet. But I'm told that the next version of the Airtime software will have the feature so you can go in the web interface and kill what's currently playing.
Okay, that'd be handy.
Yeah, that way we could actually break in and do live stuff. But right now, I don't have a good way to do that. To do live shows, we actually have to schedule a gap.
Okay. Yeah, that's the major drawback of the entire system right there is just you, like, basically once something's scheduled and running, there's no way of stopping it. And once it's scheduled, you can't actually get in there and do anything. So once that update comes out, it'll be much more usable, I'd say.
Well, I mean, it's usable now as long as if we don't need to break into it for any reason. Plus, too, if I'm sitting here, I can just kill it, right? It's mm-hmm. I just kill it on this machine and we're done. But I was thinking more in terms of, like, you know, for some asinine reason, the aliens land and they want to talk to me. I'm going to be a little bit busy, so we need somebody else to break into the stream and cover it live, right?
Yeah. You know, what I would really like to see is the ability to access the interface from, like, an Android phone or something like that. So that way, if you're, like, out hammered somewhere or something like that, and you feel like the need to call into the radio station, you can actually access it, pause the what's going on right then and there, and then rant
drunk
on the radio
DJ.
Yeah.
And actually, that's a good point. I was going to say, pretty soon I'm going to have access to Google Voice, and if we could look at Google Voice as an option for something along this line too, that'd be great, because it'll be integrated just into my dialer, and I'll be able to, like, call up the station and, you know.
Only thing is, Google Voice only works for Americans.
That's true.
Got a lot of people who don't live there.
Well, there's America is the only country that matters, right, Suave?
I was thinking because all of the phone companies screw around with Skype and they won't let you call over the data, you know, connection. They only let you do it over Wi-Fi, at least with Sprint and AT&T, I think.
Right.
So, well, you know, most places I'll be, I can get my hands on Wi-Fi. So if I really want to drunk DJ the station from my phone.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you just go to a cafe or a bar and you can get Wi-Fi. It's not a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
But I really, really like the idea of just being out somewhere and on the spur of the moment being able to call in and just air your grievances against the world.
Well, fuck you guys! And fuck the jackass wanting me to pay for my drinks!
Yeah.
Well, in a more real application, you know, this summer when we get our get together with RU over at Lorth for Gen Con, we could go around and actually interview some of the celebs for Galaxy 15 Radio. You know,
that could be fun.
You know, and I can, I mean, I'll be able to take a local recording, but it'd be nice to do live broadcasts simultaneously.
It'll be hard doing live broadcasts because I'm assuming any form of data network out there is just going to be totally clogged.
Well, it's not impossible. I mean, we're talking Skype here, right?
Yeah.
So it's not impossible to actually attach a real phone number to it and just call it.
Yeah.
And that's interesting that has always traditionally worked, even when the data is just choked out on cell phone networks, that you could still call it just using the regular phone line. But when I know Sprint was switching everything over to Google Voice, are they switching all of their calls, or are they just doing their voicemail that way? Because if all of the phone line is suddenly going over data, oops.
Well, I think what they're doing initially is they're just doing the texting and the voicemail over Google Voice.
Just texting
and then
voicemail.
At some point, you're probably going to have I'm thinking that what they're planning on doing is just running a data pipe and then screwing GSM and getting CDMA and getting rid of that, and then basically just going through Google
straight
as a WiMAX provider.
Or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, which makes sense to me because they could save themselves a ton of money and then just roll the bandwidth right into their data service.
Right.
Well, that could work. Well, I mean, you said you wish you could do it from your phone. It's a web interface. Have you tried to pull it up on your phone? I don't have an Android phone. I've got an iPhone, but I haven't tried.
You know, I haven't even tried. I bet you it probably does even work.
Yeah, it's got all that HTML5 style interface.
Yeah.
I'm just going to try it right now. Let's see.
Yes, we're so worried about voice going over to the data, but I was on the internet in the time that the year that before we had the fiber optics, and all the internet went over the phone lines, and you couldn't make a call out at Christmas. Everybody was online.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Oh yeah.
No, the fight for me was always my sister with waiting for a phone call from one of her girlfriends, and it's like, no, I'm gaming right now, you don't understand.
Well, the login box comes up.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Let's see. Oh, yeah, but I'm sure everybody's had the phone line unplugged on them at some point during an important game.
Oh, I'll do you one better. Back in high school, on dial-up, I discovered downloading anime and MP3s. This is like right after Napster was killed, okay? And I should tell you when I was in high school. Anyways, I actually got a program to schedule my modem so I could have it on the internet when I went to bed, and it would kill itself at 4 in the morning when my dad was going to get up so that I wouldn't get in trouble for using the phone line all night, right? Well, they apparently tried to call him from where he worked and couldn't get through till 4 in the morning, and it was like some big emergency, so I got in trouble anyways.
Oh, that's nuts. But, yeah, good old days of dial-up. Long before there was any such thing as VoIP or anything like that, I remember even like recording WAV files and sending it over the internet and shit like that. Oh, yeah, good times.
I remember logging in to play Gemstones 3. Anybody here ever play Gemstones? It's like an old mod.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez, man, you could actually log into that?
It's saying wrong username or password. That's interesting. It doesn't appear to be letting me log in on the phone, although I got the login box. Let me just double-check something here.
Might be able to do it with a different browser, too.
Yeah. Oh, hear me pounding on my keyboard. Well, okay, let me in there. Oh, I bet you I see what's wrong. Apple, in its great wisdom, auto-corrected. Hey, it's capitalizing the A in my login name.
Oh, really?
Well, admin.
Auto-correct.
Thank you, Mr. Jobs. I appreciate your spelling correcting. Unlike Google, it's like, is this what you really meant? You know, where they ask you, did you mean something different? You know, Apple's like, well, no, we'll fix it for you since you're incompetent.
What's the website? There was a great website. Somebody linked it the other day. It was like, damn you, autocorrect, or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I know which one you're talking about. I can't remember the name, though. There's some serious stuff on there.
Yeah.
Although I'm still convinced half of those things are fake.
Probably. But it let me into the web interface. I don't know how usable it is. Let me try to go to the playlist builder here. So, yeah, we're administrating. There's some exciting radio for you. Administering the radio interface on my phone when we're supposed to be talking about something interesting.
Yes. I don't know. I'd say that's pretty damn interesting. Like, the ability to, from pretty much anywhere, to actually just log in and actually administer a radio station, that's pretty impressive.
Well, there is one slight problem I'm encountering. And Suave, since you've used the interface, you'll understand.
Mm-hmm.
How do you right-click?
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh.
You have to right-click on several of the interfaces. Well, hopefully the current show will just be like
don't
a
move,
button
I think.
Or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, on a Windows mobile, you just hold the button down, but on an iPhone, what? I don't know how to do it.
I'm pretty sure that's the
iPhone,
same.
That's Mac, you hold control.
Where's control?
But, yeah, I'm sure there's a workaround.
There you go.
Well, hopefully the kill current show button will just be a big button. You can just hit it.
Well, you know, alternatively, you can always just SSH or use log me in or something like that into an actual PC and control it from there.
Yeah, so I mean,
right click and stuff like that.
You know, if Morph doesn't want to sleep, he could just write a whole other web interface to overlay on top of this one. Oh, wait a minute. Did I say that out loud?
Wait, you said something very strange there. I sleep?
Oh, okay.
When does this happen? I'd like to know.
You see, it's the time when you are aware of what's going on around you and you're not aware of what's going on around you.
So when I'm sitting at my desk at work, got it. Okay. So, yeah. Speaking of work, I've now got a reliable method. I don't want to talk about it on air because it's work stuff. But yeah, those digital signs I was working on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, reliably every time now, no questions asked. I don't even need to use Metasploit or Armitage at this point. It's just, you know, standard issue stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah, totally, completely pwned. So
that's great.
Yeah, it's such a different environment than my last job, where the IT department hated me, but all the local management team wouldn't let them touch me or even write me up because I was making this stuff actually work for them. Whereas,
yeah, you're probably making everyone else look bad.
Oh, shit. Okay, I should tell you about my old job. I worked for an auto part manufacturer at the time when the bottom fell out of the freaking automotive industry, you know, when the economy crashed. You may have noticed.
Yep. Yeah.
So I was working for a car part maker.
Oh, yeah. Great, yeah.
Yeah, that plant was bought 3 times. Who the hell's messaging me? Oh, Sard. Well, I tell you what. I'll talk about that when we come back from break. We'll get Sard in on the call. And we'll go ahead and go to break now. And let me just mute the Skype call. Everybody loves my professional stalling as I figure out how the hell to do this. There we go. Now that we've got that. So you all can let Sard know what's going on. I'm going to start playing this.
Regain composure, I was a shocker.
Oh, I know I just told them in the chat here 2 minutes, but I also noticed my playlist is messed up. We were supposed to come back in on the Amazing Grace Kazoo, not on Beat Under Control here. But that's okay, I got the call back up now. You guys are back in. We got Sard added to the call. Hey, Sard, what's up?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
So, yeah, did anybody fall out of their chair when they heard Amazing Grace played on the kazoo, just out of idle curiosity? I think everybody else, yeah, I screwed up on the, told them we had 2 minutes and we didn't. Oops. Or is everybody else just dead?
Ah, there we go.
We got Knox. Heavy and Suave must be in the bathroom. So we will stall until they get back.
And as our data clearly shows, humans cannot be trusted.
So, yes. And yeah. So what's up, Sard?
Nothing much, man. Just got home from one day of work protecting the good people on my network, and yeah.
You got the same day job I do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, you'd enjoy some of the shit I pulled off. I've got a system. We got a series of digital displays. I was just telling them about it before we took break. That. Yeah, I've completely and totally owned, like, completely.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Well, it turns out, I guess we can talk about it a little bit. As long as I don't get too specific about brand names and what vendor it is, I guess it'll be all right. Anyways, when I say a digital display, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Right, like giant S Times Square screens type thing?
Well, these aren't that big, but it would be the same style of thing. You know, they get the ticker going on the bottom and ads going. Sure. They're just large flat-screen TVs hooked up to a PC.
Right.
And, I was working on some automated network sweeping with Nessus, and I stumbled across a couple of these things. They're not being maintained, like, at all. So I get into one of them using MSO 867, and from there, It just starts going downhill, right?
Right.
Dump the hashes, run them through Cracker, and oh shit, look at those passwords. Normally that doesn't work. You just do it on a lark just to see, right?
Right.
No,
right.
It worked.
Nice. Are we talking like 5-character all lowercase passwords, or were they actually
a 6-character? There were 6 characters, and the admin password was the same as the support account password, just backwards.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, yeah. Nice. And this same account exists on every single one of these digital displays.
Mm-hmm.
Also, these digital displays have an FTP server running, and that account works.
I was just going to say, to upload new data to the actual display, or is this running FTP for that?
Well, they actually pulled their display from a server up in the data center, and I haven't done too much probing of that particular box. For some reason, they want to keep me away from the data center. I don't really know why. And so I... yeah, strange that. And anyways, though, so I get into this thing and I realize essentially all of these have the same passwords. And that FTP server gives you access to the root of the drive.
Awesome.
And
so,
they're... Huh?
I was just going to say, so you can pretty much do anything you want with them.
Just about, and it's like, well, okay, I've got FTP, I just need some way to execute, code. Oh, wait, these all have a web interface.
Mm-hmm.
They run ASP.
Oh, nice.
So, go into everybody's favorite distro, Backtrack, Pentest, Backdoors, Web. Oh, look at all those nice collections. Guess what I was able to do?
Mm-hmm. A little cross-site scripting or SQL injection, or...
Didn't even need it. Uploaded my own custom code as a backdoor. Didn't even have to shove it through a hole in the web app. I just FTP'd it up. I had the accounts.
Yeah, I guess that's true, huh?
And tick off any process I want.
Right.
So, yeah. I've already checked it. You can shove VNC up to them. You can shove all kinds of stuff up to them. And they'll display on the screen.
That's
so
awesome.
I've got a movie player that works. These things actually have a real screwball environment. They don't have Explorer.exe running, and the Explorer.exe files are actually corrupt on the drive. I think the only reason these things haven't been rooted is their environment is so screwball. So, I rooted them.
Of course.
How big of screens are we talking? Are they in like
42, 50-inch. The one I've been using is in a hallway. It's a 52-inch... in the middle, and then 230-some-odd inches that have been turned vertical.
Huh. So, nice.
Yeah, I'm seriously thinking about getting Fight Club and just having it play on all of them, like, at once.
Oh, that is excellent.
Yeah.
So. Oh, no, better yet, you gotta find from some old movie, Aliens Invading, where they broadcast all the world TVs, you know, their intentions that we all have to surrender and everything like that. And then just play that on all of the TVs.
Well, you see, the only problem... Go ahead, Knox.
On the loop as well.
Yeah. Well, the only problem is my boss knows about it because he came into my room to see why I was cackling, right? And so he's actually arranging a demonstration going around the director who actually is managing these screens and going straight up to a VP trying to get more funding. I actually suck at the whole office politics thing, so I'm just kind of letting him do what he wants. But, when it comes down to the demos for these things, we have to remember who the audience is, because...
I've got balls of steel.
But I don't want to get fired.
Yeah.
It's really too bad,
all
though.
All the steel don't help from your dick getting cut off.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm pretty sure they'd forgive it if it was on April 1st that it went down.
Yeah,
it wouldn't go down. That's the problem.
That's a good point.
But
yeah,
content that would probably be acceptable would be something along the lines of standard old fashioned misinformation. So Reefer Madness, Duck and Cover.
Oh yeah,
Duck
and Cover for sure.
That stuff would probably fall under. See what happens
when
you don't have control.
The only problem is all the screens are muted.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Well, you could find something with
Reefer Madness with sound.
Turn on closed captions.
Oh, that's entirely possible. I mean, VLC is one of the things I managed to get to run on the thing, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it's whatever we want, right? And yeah. Plus two VLCs command line. So I can script it. So what I was actually aiming for, you all remember the intro or the opening in Iron Man 2 where he's in the congressional hearing?
Yeah.
And he holds up his phone and just starts taking over their screens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can do that with these.
Ah, sweet.
See, I was thinking,
you know, like, this is a prime candidate here. It's April 1st coming up right away, and
if I haven't gotten to demo it by then, I may have to do something. The only problem is they're going to know who the fuck did it.
So yeah, but like, you know, you could even
why
just
did Blue Waffle show up on all these screens?
You could even be tricky and targeted at specific people. Like, can you control individual screens, or is
yes.
it all of them? Yeah, so, like, you could easily just have, like, one TV jacked and just watch until somebody comes over and then play something that they come up to it or something like that.
Oh, yeah, because it's web interface, right? So I can trigger it from my phone. This is just what we were checking on the admin interface to the scheduler.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Actually, so, you know what? Go to your boss and say, hey, April 1st, I got to do something, you know?
I'm going to. And he was working on some things to display, too. And he's better at the office politics than I am, too, but he's got a sense
right.
of humor. Actually, what he was working on was he wanted to have a slideshow of something he thought would get attention from
okay.
the correct people, saying, hey, look what could happen. You need to fund your security department. So he's taking all these pictures of well-known celebrities, shall we say,
mm-hmm.
and tastefully adding the black boxes.
Oh, well.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's probably going to happen, but yeah.
I was thinking, like, you should do the whole War of the Worlds when it was originally broadcasted on the radio. Make something news looking like.
I like the idea of duck and cover, though, the whole misinformation thing. I'm
going
to have to see if I can get my hands on a copy of that.
Well, I think both of those are public domain, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. It's just a copy. It's just a matter of getting the movie file in an accessible location.
Oh,
yeah.
That would not be difficult.
So,
there you go.
I think I was going to talk about my old job and how I was pissing them off, but...
Yeah.
Okay. That's the way you want to go here? Before I got my current job, where I'm actually doing sanctioned hacking, which is why I'm telling them that I found this problem with the screens, for example, I worked for an auto part maker, you know, right at the time the bottom fell out of the automotive industry. Actually, about a year and a half before it and about a year after it. And I was going to night school at the time and finally got the really expensive piece of paper that lets me get the job I have now. But, anyways, the job I had before, my job title was actually customer service, but considering my customers were Ford, Toyota, Chrysler, that really meant the guy on the phone who gets yelled at, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I ended up doing all the IT work for this plant, you know, go figure, right? But they wouldn't put IT in my job title because they didn't want to give me the pay rise.
Those bastards.
And... Oh, yeah, and I was still fully expected to do shit, right? And because it was in my job description, other duties as required. And it's like, well, you know how to fix this, so go fix it. Just like,
other duties
fuck.
As required. That's a pretty vague job description.
Well, that was in every job description at that facility, I'm just going
to say. Yeah, pretty much everywhere you go, they've always got a little line added on there like that.
Oh, yeah. And you know... From a management standpoint, I don't blame them because it was a union shop, at least out in the factory. I was not a member of that union, but out in the factory, most of them were. So they had to have something like that in there because otherwise they'd be getting grievances and lawsuits all day long whenever somebody said, hey, man, there's a mess. Can you go take care of it? That is not in my job description. You know, they had people really, really abusing it. So I don't blame them one bit for having that in there. But
oh, yeah, absolutely. And generally, most places don't abuse it.
Well, my only complaint was they had me doing, you know, $30,000-$40,000 a year job for about half that. So that kind of ticked me off because anywhere you go, you know, say, you know, for you know, a local IT support office like that, that would have been twice what I was making. So, you know, that kind of burned a little bit, but there wasn't anything I could really do about it because I needed the job. So And, you know, I didn't mind. Yeah. It's not like I minded doing the work. Hell, I enjoy this shit. I mean, I'm building a internet radio station in my spare time. I mean, my God, what is wrong with me? But, you know, it was just, they were really taking advantage of it, and it gets even better after I left. But anyways, that plant was bought 3 times while I worked there. And the first time, it was like within a month of me getting the job. So it was just like, that's scary. But the IT place, the IT office of the new place that came in, like shortly after I was hired, they didn't like me. I don't really understand why. I mean, I made everything actually, you know, fucking work, and told them they were idiots on a regular basis, but that's not the point. But, you know, I had it all working, and that's the funny part, was that all of the local management wouldn't let them touch me. They hated me, because I was actively getting into their systems and fixing problems. And just, like, great example. When they first came in, they rolled everyone over to the new Active Directory domain off of the old one. But they didn't do any data backup or any account permissions or even just linking the new account to the old one. So everyone's files, email, preferences for that matter, they were locked up under the old domain, which you couldn't log into anymore, with nothing moved over. So practically the first thing I did, and the first experience the corporate IT office got of me, was me going around with a live CD and a USB drive and getting everyone's shit moved over to the new accounts, because their own IT staff didn't bother to do it. Hmm. So, yeah, that ticked them off.
I don't see why, though. No, I mean,
I
went around and I hacked every system. I used an unauthorized method of repair. We should have filed IT support tickets and had them all come back out and correct the problem.
Yeah, that was supposed to be 6 weeks worth of make work. Come on. You screwed
and
up.
And I solved that in 2 days, so.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, don't do that shit, man. That's like akin to when I was working at my college, you know, at night. You know, during the day, the bosses are like, you must use the CDs and go around manually install every piece of software on the thing. No. And then we'd come out with a freaking ghost server, and we'd go around at night, and we'd actually get the work done so we could fuck off for the rest of the week, you know.
Yeah, I hear that. But, yeah, so. Anyways, though, but now I'm working someplace much, much better where they actively want me seeking out this stuff, and as opposed to getting angry and calling me nasty things and trying to get me fired, you know, they actually want to know about the problems, so.
Yeah.
I'm having fun with it.
Well, as long as the nice people over at the RIAA and the MPAA don't bother them, then they're happy.
Well, that's the other part of my job, is I get those complaint letters. So it's just like, fuck. Oh, I hate those.
Yeah.
Reading them is great fun, though. The language on those things is just absolutely fantastic.
Oh, yeah. If anybody wants to ever see an example, you go to the Pirate Bay and you look up illegal threats, and you can get all the examples you want. And the appropriate responses to those letters. Absolutely, 100%. Well,
the Pirate Bay gets interesting letters, but some of the ones I get where I work are just funny. Because you get the letter, and it's like, this is your second notice. Well, let's see, going back through the records here, I don't see the first notice, but okay, whatever. This is your second notice. You have to click on this link here and go to our website and pay us $3,000, because we are entitled to it, because we have somebody on your network, and by somebody we mean an IP address and a timestamp, who we believe was sharing this really awful rap music. And it's just like, wow, really? Really?
Really?
I mean,
yeah. On that note, they were trying to get $75 trillion.
Oh, I heard out that.
And it's like, everybody's covered it. I know, but
yeah. Oh, hell, go off. It's funny.
Isn't that like more money than actually exists, or something like that?
They've tried that a couple times. Yeah. The United States national debt. That's over 4 times the United States national debt. Okay. We've racked up the largest bill owed to any group of people in the entire history of humanity, and yet still this one corporation or association of corporation wants that much as the fine. I mean,
they're thinking of the
ridiculous
country. They get that much in. They pay off our entire national debt in taxes.
Yeah, it's except there's one slight problem here. That money doesn't actually exist.
Right. Exactly. Well,
you know, if I were a judge on a case where they asked for that kind of money, I'd do everything I could to just throw the case out.
Well, I don't think they actually directly asked for that. I think they did something along the lines of, well, we know there was, like, you know, 1,300 and some odd tracks or whatever the actual number was, and mm-hmm. each track is worth X. So as opposed to putting the total in there, they put the math problem in there. To see if
they basically quoted the statute and gave the 10,000 infringements, and then that's basically what it came out with. And the judge did the math and said, you guys are fucking crack, and said no.
And as our data clearly shows, humans cannot be trusted.
Yeah. So.
Pretty much. And that's definitely a point of legislation. You know, we need to go in there and fix that shit. Yeah, look.
Well, my real problem with that whole thing is they're not going after the people who were actually sharing the music. They're going after the people who wrote the software. And they're saying, oh, well, you facilitated. It's like, okay, are you suing the ISPs next? How about Google? It's pretty easy to Google for MP3s. Oh, how about the power companies and Microsoft? Most of these people were probably running Windows, so you're going to have to sue them. And the hard drive makers, you'll want to sue them, and Dell and probably Apple. And, who else facilitates this? Oh, God? Yeah, God has something to do with that, you know, if you want to take the religious argument. Or, you know, if you don't believe in God, you know, you'll need to go find that amoeba that humanity spawned from, according to evolution. So,
well, the funny thing is, people have actually been getting their BitTorrent throttled, right, which is pretty standard, especially over at Rogers, which is a Canadian IT company. And essentially, here's the funny thing. Rift, which is a brand new MMO, and WoW, which is an old MMO, initially they did just their backups with BitTorrent.
Yeah, that's
then
what
they found
did
that they could actually get better ping times and less network overhead if they use BitTorrent as a main part of the background of the operation of the games. So now, legitimate software is running on BitTorrent full time.
Well, legitimate software has been running on BitTorrent for a while. I mean, you know, if you want to take the legitimate software argument, Linux distributions have been going out over BitTorrent for a long time, as well as a lot of Creative
Remember
Commons
when
media.
BitTorrent was legitimate software?
Yeah, exactly. And so it's funny, people have to individually call up and say, hey, my bandwidth is crappy, and they're like, are you running WoW? Yes, all right, we'll fix it, we're sorry. It's like, come on, I shouldn't have to, you know, get permission from you. I mean, you know, and actually the funny thing is, because, like RDO and Netflix and Hulu Plus, and all these legitimate sources for buying shit, I'm easily coming right up into my bandwidth cap, and I'm not even doing anything illegal anymore. It's like, okay,
so,
guys.
Actually, I just wanted to interject there. I don't know about in the U.S., but up here in Canada, they actually just came out with some new compression that they're now using that basically drops the bandwidth down to about a third of what it was before. Whereas 30 hours of watching was about 30 gigabytes before, now it's about 9 gigabytes. So that I thought that was pretty cool that they did that. I actually I was watching Netflix here the other day, and I honestly didn't notice any difference in the quality.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you know, this I think we've talked about bandwidth caps before. This is the primary reason I got rid of my DSL. So Heavy, you're on a bandwidth cap?
250 gig.
You're on AT&T. Okay.
Yeah, no. Comcast.
Comcast put in one too. Damn.
Yep, 250 gig is their max a month, and I do know what's her name? Caroline. You know, from the Twit Cottage. You know, formerly of the Twit Cottage, now working for Google. She said, basically, you have to bump that cap, or blow that cap 3 times in a month, or 3 months consecutively, and then they'll cut you off. So as long as you only do it twice consecutively, and then you behave the third month, you should be all
right. Well, no, that attitude right there kind of takes me off. Behave? Then you behave? No, I'm fucking paying for as much bandwidth as I can move. I'm paying for a pipe. My pipe is 20 down and 10 up. Then guess what the fuck? I am running 20 down and 10 up 24/7. That's what my pipe is. If you don't like it, don't sell it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to put a cap on me. I'm using their service, but we've sort of sued them several times, and they've lost their customership. And then they bought the company we switched to.
Yeah, they
several times.
Well, they're buying T-Mobile.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of sketchy. You know, there's not that many large cell phone companies, and you just got one less now.
Well, the real problem with it is going from 4 to 3 is a little bit easier to swing. What happens when, say, Verizon tries to buy Sprint?
Yeah.
That's going to get denied.
You know, to be honest, I can almost see this happening, and it looks really a lot like this is happening, is that Sprint's just going to let the 800-pound gorilla eat them, which is Google, which Google hadn't wanted to go out and build the infrastructure themselves. But if they can basically come into some kind of a profit-sharing deal, they'll write all the software for and administer the back end for Sprint, and Sprint will just provide the hardware, the data pipe.
Wasn't Google going to provide a whole bunch of fiber optic lines to, like, a whole town trying to convince other ISPs to do it?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure they have done it. I think that was a pilot project. I'm not sure how it's gone from there, though.
If anybody could build the actual infrastructure we need for a high-speed mobile network, Google would be the ones to do it, although I'm not sure I'd want them running it, to be honest. When they're tracking you, it's not nefarious, but they still track you. And it's like, okay, great example. Recently, Google went in and removed like 50-some-odd applications from their App Store for... Oh, shit, we're coming up on time. I'll just wrap this up quick. Google removed a whole bunch of apps from the App Store and then used their ability to reach into Android phones and yank those apps from phones. Now, these things were malicious. What worries me about that is not that Google can do it. It's that somebody else, say a government, can pay Google to do it. Because at the end of the day, Google's a business. And unlike some people, I don't hate businesses. I actually like them. They're a tool. They're a useful tool. But they are immoral, and you have to remember that.
Right. And so, basically, you've got to do the distributed funding thing. And if you want something to happen, you need to get, a couple million people to drop their dollar in the bucket. And then you go pay Google, and you say, hey, Google, we're giving you a big pile of money to do this for us. So,
well, that's certainly possible.
I'm just saying, I'm one of the biggest proponents of vote with your dollar. We already know the corporations own the politicians, so the only last reserve we have is to vote with our dollar and basically starve a company out of business if we don't think that they're doing anything morally or along the lines that we want. And that's what we have to do now.
It's tough though. Like, look at Facebook or Apple or any. Well, I'm sure some people would disagree with me on that last one, but. they're just raking in the dollars.
I've got to be careful about their morals. I got to be careful about it because I've been having an easier time hacking Macs than Windows 7 PCs, and I got to be careful who I say that to because I'll get punched in the face. Never mind, it's true. It's the whole but Macs don't get viruses. It's like no, but they're running a full BSD stack. You still need to use a decent password.
Yep. So. And that's what it comes down to, isn't it? Is having multiple, choices so that you can actually say, well, I choose not to use this company, I choose to use the other company.
Sure.
And if you have that, then you win.
All right.
The only reason that Macs are easy, don't have the viruses is because nobody wants to bother with them. There's nothing good on them.
Well, I know some people who'd argue with you on that, but we're on time here, so I'm going to close up the show there. And let me just reach over here and mute the Skype call. And you guys are now quiet, so you can scream at the microphone if you like. I'm going to hit this button.
for fuck's sake, stupid piece of shit. Fuck you, Microsoft. Fuck you right in the ear.
And as our data clearly shows, humans cannot be trusted.